Christians, we're called to have God as our model. We're called to be new men, to leave the world behind and really ask God to transform our hearts from the inside out.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Today, in anticipation of Father's Day, which is June 18th, we're going to be discussing the importance of fatherhood and some practical ways for men to understand the love of God and then apply that love to being a better father. Our guest today is Dr. Gregory Popchak, who is a psychotherapist and executive director of Pastoral Solutions Institute, an internationally known marriage and family expert, radio host, and author of more than 20 books. Dr. Popchak drew on decades of counseling experience as well as his own experience as a father to write his newest book, Be Daditudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, which we will be discussing today. Dr. Popchak, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, John.
Well, it's our pleasure. Now, Dr. Popchak, we know that one of the greatest tragedies of our present-day society is the breakdown of the family. We see it, unfortunately, on a daily basis. Much of this has been driven by the absence of a father in the home, but I know that you have talked about a sense of family loss, even in circumstances where a father is physically present. As we begin our discussion today, talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Well, you know, we've kind of lost a sense of family in society. We tend to think of family as more of an accessory than an activity. It's something that we have, not something we work at. You know, so it was really not that long ago, a generation or two, where we really thought of family life as the place that socialized our kids, you know, where we got together for working together, praying together, playing together, talking together. And then if we did any other activities, they had to fit around family activities. Well, now what's happened because of the divorce culture and so many families have broken up, in society we really see that it's the society's job to socialize kids. So we have our kids enrolled in 20,000 activities on a Wednesday night to make sure that they can just be normal and healthy and grow up to be able to do stuff, you know. And that sense of family as an activity has been lost. So we end up with families that are kind of defining themselves as a bunch of people living under the same roof and sharing a data plan instead of people who are actually creating a life together.
Wow, that's a tough way to put it, but very true. And I think there are a lot of our listeners who can probably relate. And I know, Dr. Popchak, that we see so many different family structures in our culture today. What is so unique and important about the role of fathers in those families?
You know, there's a lot of really interesting ways to answer that question. I'm going to start with a really fundamental principle, which is that fathers and mothers really do bring different things to the table, even just in terms of how our physiology affects our kids' development. For instance, there have been some really interesting studies recently on rat pups. Now, you might say, well, what do rats have to do with humans? Well, because they're higher order mammals, their brains work similarly, anyway, to how a human brain works. And you can extend findings that you get from that kind of research to human interactions as well. And what we've been able to see in these studies is that when a mom rat is present to her pups, that actually stimulates the pup's brain in a way that teaches that brain how to downregulate from stress. So if the rat pup is stressed, that present mom helps that rat pup de-stress. But if a dad rat is present to his rat pup, it actually stimulates the brain in a different way that teaches that baby's brain to downregulate from aggression. So that if that rat pup is more aggressive, then the presence of that loving or attentive father enables that brain to learn how to calm down from aggression. And you know, we see that kind of anecdotally in the culture, where fatherlessness has led to a real chronic issue with male aggression, gang violence or increased violence in urban settings, where you see that lack of fatherlessness. And I think it's not unreasonable to extend that out. The reality is fathers and mothers do bring different things to the table, not just because of cultural or social programming, but physiologically for who we are and how we actually affect the development of our children's brains.
Well, Dr. Popchak, what do you think is the most challenging part of fatherhood today, considering some of the issues that we've talked about, the pressures, the things that vie for our time and attention in our culture today?
I think the biggest issue is that there isn't anything to really look at to give us a good template for what a good father really does. You know, our culture sends a lot of different messages, everything from, you know, fathers aren't needed at all, like the old feminist slogan that women need a man like a fish needs a bicycle, right? You know, and even though that's an old saying, the reality is that it's still relevant, and a lot of men feel that sense of obsolescence. And then, of course, you have lots of different models where culture presents fathers as idiots, as incapable of being fathers or knowing how to have a marriage or a family life. And then we grow up in homes where dads aren't present, and so we have to make it up on our own. So there isn't really a good template to follow. And honestly, that's one of the reasons I wrote The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad.
Well, we definitely want to talk about your new book. I know that the book has an interesting format. Each chapter really discusses one of the Beatitudes as it relates to a man's relationship with God, with his wife, and with his children. And then you offer questions to reflect upon at the end of each chapter. I'd love to learn more about why you selected the Beatitudes as really the structural context for a book about fatherhood.
When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, he was presenting the very countercultural vision of what Christianity ought to look like, about what Christians or what disciples of Christ ought to look like in their daily lives. And he presents a really radically different idea of what fulfillment requires from us. But if we're going to live the Christian life, we've got to start with what our Lord gave us as that blueprint for living differently. And so that's going to apply to everything. You know, those Beatitudes don't just apply to, you know, how I think or how I approach work or society. It approaches my relationships. It's got to reorder how I think about my most intimate relationships with my spouse and with my children as well. And so in just kind of thinking about that, it just occurred to me that it would be a really good idea to look at what do the Beatitudes have to say about my fatherhood and fatherhood in general. And then in building on that, as you said, it led to sort of a triptych structure to the chapters, where the first part of the chapter begins with my relationship to God the Father, because I can't give what I don't have. If I don't have a good relationship with my Heavenly Father, I can't be the father God wants me to be to my kids. And then secondly, I look at my relationship with my wife and the reader's relationship with their wife. You know, being a father presumably means having a relationship with a woman. And so and I'm going to teach my children how to have a healthy relationship. That's an important part of fathering as well. So looking at that relationship with my wife helps me be able to get a sense of how do I live out my fatherhood in that relationship. And then finally, how do I convey all those things I get from my relationship with God the Father and from my wife to my children, which is the third section of each chapter as well.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
How do you find that these concepts relate to men who grew up without a father in the home? I know that one of the things that we see and one of the things that we have concerns about from a faith perspective is that oftentimes men who did not have a healthy father figure in the home may have a difficult time really conceiving of a heavenly father who loves them. How do you address that issue?
No, that's absolutely true. And in fact, that's one of the things we look at a lot in the book. How do we actually get our heads around the idea that our Heavenly Father does love us, especially if we've had a complicated relationship with our own father, or even our own father is missing? The one thing I would say is, you know, as Christians, we're called to have God as our model. We're called to be new men, to leave the world behind and really ask God to transform our hearts from the inside out. And so regardless of where we came from, whether our families of origin were wonderful or significantly lacking in some way, we're called to be more. God calls us to something different. And so the Beatitudes really look at how the Beatitudes can help us be that new man in Christ and live out the gospel in our homes in new ways, regardless of where we came from. And so is it great if we had that healthy formation, you know, our families of origin? Absolutely, that gives us a leg up. But either way, we have to be willing to be humble enough to bring our whole experience to God and say, Lord, you know, help me to know what's good and what you want me to hold on to from my past, and help me to let go of what I need to let go of so I can be the man you want me to be.
Now, Dr. Popchak, some of the Beatitudes seem, at first glance at least, to be incompatible with what our culture may consider to be masculine traits. I mean, we want to be real men in our society today. And I'm thinking specifically about the Beatitudes that address mourning, that address meekness and mercy, things of that nature. How do you reconcile these virtues, which really are virtues, but how do you reconcile those with true, authentic masculinity?
Yeah, it's a terrific question, and I really go through that in the book. For example, meekness is a really good one, because I think a lot of people think of meekness as weakness. But if you look at the original language of the gospel, the Greek word for meek that's used in the scriptures is praus, which is a Greek military term. It refers to a war horse that's been trained well to respond to its rider's commands and not be spooked easily in battle. Right, so meekness isn't about weakness. It's about having a heart that's receptive to God's command. It's willing to go in and fight the good fight, but who isn't just going to charge in and do its own thing, or run from the battle. That's a man whose heart is tuned to God and tuned to his wife and children's needs, and able to bring those needs to God in ways that even when it gets a little scarier or or complicated, we're able to really listen to what God wants us to do, so that we can help our whole family meet its needs in ways that are godly and efficient. So that's one example. You know, mercy. You know, you're talking about mercy. You know, it's not about just being nice. You know, mercy is ultimately the virtue that helps us treat other people in a manner that allows them to see their worth in God's eyes. And I can't think of anything more manly than to help my wife and children know what they're worth to God and what they're worth to me. And so through my loving service, I'm able to bring that mercy to them and show them their worth and their value so that they can see that they're a treasure.
Well, in Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, you say that fathers ought to have a serious conversation about serious issues. What kind of serious issues should fathers be discussing with their families, and what are some practical ways they can do that well?
Comes down especially to questions about faith and morals. You know, there's a lot of research that actually shows that unless the father is taking the lead in faith and character formation in the home, that the kids have a much, much less likelihood of owning those faith and values as adults. One really fascinating study took a look at the Second World War and whether people were rescuers of the Jews or collaborators with the Nazis or the persecutions of the Jews or bystanders. And one of the things that they found in that study was that those children who were raised in households where the fathers took the lead in faith and moral formation were much more likely to be rescuers, to be heroic in their response to the terrible tragedy in society, than were children who were raised in households where dads were absent from that conversation. So if we want to raise kids who are capable of standing up to the culture and really being able to present a godly way, a godly alternative to what society has to offer, then dads really need to be in there having those conversations, leading prayer in the home, being present to their kids when it comes to modeling what it means to live a Christian life.
Well, Dr. Popchak, if you had to boil things down to the most simple level, what would you say is the single most important things fathers can do for their children and for their families?
Listen. You know, it starts with listening. I had a guy come up to me at a men's conference once and say, you know, Dr. Popchak, I know I'm supposed to be the head of my household, but how do I know what the right thing to do is? How do I know what God wants me to do? You know, and my answer is, you know, well, ask your wife and children, you know, what God is putting on their hearts, and be willing to work with that. That doesn't mean do everything they tell you to do. It doesn't mean say how high when they say jump. What it means is listen to what their needs are, and then lead them in prayer and discussion to find the most godly and effective ways to meet those needs. Don't impose your agenda on your family. Don't tell them what they want and what you're going to do for them. Listen to God speaking to you through the hearts of the wife and the children that God gave you, so that he can transform you into the man that he wants you to be and enable you to be the husband and father that he's calling you to be in your home.
Dr. Popchak, unfortunately, we're just about out of time for this week, but I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can learn more about your work and to get a copy of your new book, Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad.
Yeah, they can check me out actually at my website, exceptionalmarriages.com. That's one word, plural, exceptionalmarriages.com. They can also tune into our radio program on Sirius XM Channel 130 that airs weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule, Dr. Gregory Popchak, for being with us on Family Policy Matters.
Thanks again for having me.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. to listen to our radio show online, and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.